Sue, you were saying that brass bands do a fantastic interpretation of Matt Monro's Born Free.
Well, it's not an interpretation of Matt Monro's Born Free, but Born Free as an arrangement for brass bands is a fantastic arrangement. I wasn't ready for this question, so I don't quite know who made the arrangement, but it is a fantastic one. So,
well, proving that good music has a resonance that echoes right throughout the land, making her debut on Siren FM, and somebody who actually just said whilst we were lining her up for her broadcasting debut here with Siren, actually said, oh, thank heavens, Matt Monro, marvellous. I don't know if she was expecting some kind of rambunctious sort of modern malarkey stuff, but we say, Benita Brown, author extraordinaire, are you there, Benita?
I'm here, yes.
Wonderful. As a best-selling author of family sagas set on Tyneside, of course. In 2006, Fortune's Daughter was long-listed for the Romantic Novelists Association's Romantic Novel of the Year Award. Starlight and Dreams, of course, your latest book, set in the 1940s against the backdrop of Britain's golden era of cinema as the nation recovers from the war. Now, Judith, as somebody who, within your act, does a great sort of... you can do a 1940s songstress extremely well from the point of view of Gracie Fields and various other fine folk, etc. Would you like to question Benita on her fabulous writing work and how on the 29th of June at Acklam Library, up in Littlesborough, 146 miles away from where we are here in Lincoln at present, you'll be able to actually touch base on some of the fine work that she's actually doing?
Well, tell us something about the romantic nature of your book, Benita.
Of this particular book?
Yes, yes.
Well, it is romantic, although my sagas are not classed as romances. A romance is something like the wonderful Mills and Boone authors write, but obviously in a family saga there is going to be love and marriage and death and grief and heartache and all the things that my readers expect. But in this particular book, yes, I think it's probably more romantic than the ones that have gone before. Mm-hmm. It's a girl who makes the wrong choice, as girls do, and you have to read the book to find out whether it works out in the end.
Where are you actually from, Benita?
I was born in Newcastle.
Oh, you've not got much of an accent. I'm going to say, I was just wondering why you would have chosen Tyneside, because I couldn't quite pick up your
because
accent.
Because it's the centre of civilisation, Judith. Now, how often do I have to say this, for sakes?
Well, she's quite posh.
What
about your main protagonist here? Is it anybody that you know in your family?
No. The novel is set in the post-war period, although there's a prologue the last month before the war when three girls leave school, and at those days, of course, you could leave school at 14. And this is their last day, their last summer of freedom. They don't know yet that the world is going to change dramatically. And then the story picks up in 1946, when the world has changed, and Carol, the main protagonist, has been writing to the brother of a friend of hers all throughout the war. He's in the RAF. She's desperately in love with him, but he just looks upon her as his sister's little pal, and he thinks she's very cute, but he doesn't regard her romantically at all. She's very beautiful, my Carol. Not all my heroines are beautiful, but Carol is. She's mad about the cinema, as I am. And, of course, this was the golden age of cinema. And she and one of her pals go every Friday night, and she sees there's going to be a competition. The winner of this competition will get a part in a film.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's probably all a big publicity stunt, but her friend urges her to enter it. But her problem is she going to enter this competition when Steve, the glamorous pilot, is just about to be demobbed? So that's the first problem for Carol.
Isn't it always the way when you've got Steve, the glamorous pilot, he's just about to be demobbed? Could it ruin the girl's future career?
What do you do?
I can see joy.
Yeah, it sounds very nice.
Due to come out in a sweat.
Joy, let's swing the microphone in front of yourself, etc. I mean, we just gave you Lynn Shepherd's book, Murder at Mansfield Park, to have a perusal through. We haven't analysed Benita's writings yet, but questions for Benita, please.
Well, I mean, I do love a bit of romance in my literature, Benita, I have to say, so your book really appeals. I was interested, do you tend to write historical fiction, or do you write of all different eras?
I have written contemporary fiction. Before I started writing sagas, I wrote seven contemporary, I think what you would call them would be modern gothic, sort of Women in Jeopardy type books.
Oh.
You know, The House on the Clifftop, The Girl Under Threat of Some Kind. But then I started writing sagas under my own name. Mm-hmm. I didn't write the previous books as Benita Brown. And until now, they've all been set in Victorian and Edwardian Tyneside. I love that era. Yeah. The gaslight, the cobblestones.
Do you find it flows more writing historical fiction? Or you know, do you prefer writing historical fiction?
I like it. I wouldn't say I prefer it. Mm. For example, this new book that's out, I've left that era behind and I've come up to the 1940s. And in the book I'm working on now, the one that's coming out next, I'm in the 30s and it's going to end at 1939. It's going to end with the war. So it's a wonderful new era for me to research, and I'm enjoying it.
And do you enjoy the research you have to do to get your books historically correct?
Very much. Yeah. I can get carried away.
Fascinating stuff, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Benita, are you compared much to that other famous female author of the Northeast authoress of the 15th
Miss
Street?
Cookson, perhaps?
Miss
well,
Cookson.
Yes. People do say if you like Catherine Cookson, you like Benita Brown, but I'm not the only one. There's a lot of other saga writers that they say exactly the same thing about.
Benita, let's be honest, if you're actually up in the Tyneside, Wearside areas, you're inevitably actually going to be a saga writer. You know, it's just the way we are. It's you know, it's losing our coast.
Right, will you always base your books around that area, Benita, or will you, do you think...
They're not entirely set in this area. In all my books, my heroines travel. Uh-huh. And in fact, in this the new one that's out, I can give this much away. Carol does win the competition and the action moves off to London.
I see.
Mm. And does she leave glamorous Steve behind?
As I say, she makes the wrong choice. He also makes a wrong choice. Mm. Will they be able to solve this problem at the end?
It's a question we've put to several authors, Benita, throughout the Lincoln Book Festival and certainly the upcoming Middlesbrough Literary Festival as well. When you actually are looking after your characters and you create them and you develop that, do they become, in a sense, like surrogate children where you think, I can't do that, I can't give them a rock, we've got to have a happy ending, or then again you actually just think, no, I'm just going to kill them off?
No, I can give them a rough time. I find it harder to give animals a rough time. I mean, I've killed a child in one of my books, and a fellow writer said, how could you do that? Mm-hmm. And yet she happily had a dog run over in one of her books, you know?
Outrageous.
Exactly.
Hypocrites.
The next thing, you'll be having serial hedgehog killers being featured, and you think, what's going on here? Sue, questions for yourself.
Actually, my questions have been asked. People have asked me already. I nearly did take Benita Brown on holiday with me. Recently.
Did you know about this, Benita?
I didn't tell her earlier. But I went to a bookshop and I went to pick up what I thought were great books, mm-hmm. sagas. I'm up for these sagas. And yeah. I didn't take Catherine Cook's neither. Mm-hmm. I ended up with some things. Actually, I wasn't very impressed with it. I have to say, there were people being killed all over the place. And it was, and they did it to animals as well.
Well, I don't kill people all the time. And I do get fond of my characters and they do live on. I mean, I can be walking through the Granger Market and I think, oh, that's where Ella bought her locket. And then I say, don't be silly, Ella doesn't exist.
Do you tend to like all your characters? Because sometimes I watch things on television and I think, well, this show actually works quite well, but actually I don't really like any of these characters. They're not people that I identify with. Or, you know, I'm not bothered about seeing them again necessarily, but in the show it works. Is it like that with books? Do you feel...
Well, I don't like all my characters, but if I couldn't identify with them, I couldn't make them convincing. Mm-hmm. So I have to be able to identify with the villains. I mean, I love writing the villains. I love writing the wicked people. I don't mm-hmm. admire them, but I have to know why they're doing it.
One of the things that I'm really cherish about the literary festivals that we cover here on Siren, Lincoln, Middlesbrough, as we mentioned, is that interface between the author, the writer, the creator, and so on. I'm bringing in Malcolm here as an actor. Mm. Clearly the line, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage, responds. But are you ever given dialogue when you're working in, I don't know, EastEnders as a solicitor, or in Hollyoaks, or in any of the roles where you think, this is execrable, how could you have possibly written this?
Frequently, yeah. And you know, what you have to try and do is just sidle up to the director and say, look, you know, I'm really sorry, but that is pants, can we just change that round a bit? And, you know, nine times out of ten the director will say, yeah, that's absolutely fine, and then you do change it. But the thing is, what you've got to remember is that, I mean, I don't know how long Benita spends writing a book. We should ask how long it takes from conception to completion. But what you've got to remember with soap writers is they're writing about 4 episodes a week, so they don't have time
as
to dedicate
part of the team
to,
as well.
To getting it sort of completely as everybody would like it. When you're writing, Benita, how long does it take you when you have the first idea to actually writing the last word in the page? How long would that process be?
Well, I have a year to complete a book. I mean, that's the way it goes with my publisher. I don't necessarily take the whole year. So I have plenty of time. I know people who write books as long as mine who can write 2 a year. They're wonderful people. Mm. But as far as the dialogue goes, I love writing dialogue. I trained as an actress.
Ooh.
I acted a bit.
Yeah.
And dialogue does come easy to me.
Yeah, I'm sure that helps, actually, having that training. Yeah, I'm sure that must be a big help.
And in terms of the role of the casting director, I mean, looking obviously multimedia explosions here, I mean, as we've already said, Malcolm and myself and Judith as well, available for voiceovers for books and various other things, so we're around from that perspective. Do you ever have kind of casting fantasies and you say, I see this person as going to be taking on board Steve's role or whomever? Do you think, does that not necessarily come into your mind when you're writing?
Sometimes I do. All my books have been done as audiobooks. Oh. I was invited along to listen to the latest one being done. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, the studios who handle this. And they told me that quite often an actor will think, oh, I can do this easily, but it's not necessarily so. He may not be a reader.
Not properly trained. That's the possibility. Didn't have the training from that point of view. Judith, you had a quick question there.
Who did you have reading it, Benita? Anybody famous?
No, nobody famous. It's the same person who's done all my books, and I'm ashamed to admit I've forgotten her name, but if you looked on Amazon...
Yeah.
We'll find her.
Anne Dover.
That's a made-up name, surely.
No. She's called Anne. She used to work for Timepiece Television a long time ago.
So are you really disciplined yourself, Benita, when you're writing? Because obviously you just work off your own steam. You must have moments when you feel, oh, I've got this really good idea. Yeah, I've got this person. This is going to happen and that's going to happen. And you might find yourself perhaps, I don't know, scribbling away into the small hours. Or are you quite used to doing it and, you know, do you have a set pattern? Do you sort of get up and have your cornflakes and write for half an hour? How does it work for a fiction writer?
It doesn't always work. I mean, I have a large family. I have 9 grandchildren. So I can't always say, right, I'm writing all day today. But as long as I get so many pages done a day, I set myself that. And often it's working late at night to get this done.
Stuff. Great. I'm still thinking in broadcast terms, actually having a character in terms of radio links, for instance, called Andover. Andover to what? Andover to the next presenter? Why are we going here? It's just wonderful. Sorry.
Well, I'm definitely going to Amazon. I love the audiobooks thing. I love having that on my iPod.
Yeah, I love
forget
audiobooks.
Music.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
The great news, Sue, is this very interview with Benita Brown will be available for download on your iPod probably within 48 hours.
Yeah, really? I might not do that. I won't need to. I'll have already heard it.
Oh, you can savour the joy.
But the books, definitely.
Marvellous stuff. In fact, Joy, any further questions?
Well, I was just wondering, Benita, obviously the saga genre is important to you, and you've also done Gothic, you've said. Is there any other particular genre you'd like to break perhaps crime fiction or something like that?
Well, I read crime fiction. I love crime fiction, and I'd love to write it, but I don't think I can, really. I don't think I'm disciplined enough to write crime fiction.
You give it away too soon, perhaps. Yeah,
no, not that. It's just that a saga is a very large canvas.
Oh, that's very true.
Lots of characters. To have a denouement, that's a good word, isn't it?
Do you know, Judith, for the moment I was back in our murder mystery days with Top Draw Productions, though, when you said the denouement.
Just for a second there, I thought I'd transport you back, Alex.
Right, exactly. Very good. Oh, those halcyon days in front of various executives from BP or whoever.
Bodies in the library and all sorts.
In fact, it was BP, wasn't it, Malcolm? We did reviews in Colchester.
It was BP. Yes.
Yeah, look what happened to them since they stopped booking us. Anyway, it's very true. It's a two-hander, of course, that you're doing, Benita, on the 29th of June because you're with Jessica Blair, also known, of course, as Bill Spence.
Yes, I've never met Bill, although we've emailed each other. Like me, he is a member of the Romantic Novelists Association.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be wonderful. And in fact, one of the gentlemen who will hopefully be there representing Siren and indeed us, the station, Southside Broadcasting, is indeed Aaron Craig. Aaron, what are your thoughts? Any questions you've got to put to Benita now?
Hi, Anita. I was just wondering, you know, on Monday I had the great pleasure of going and listening to Christina Jones, and
I was
interested when she said, you know, the relationship between maybe like your agent and your publisher. And at one point where she had a book, she was coming out and they told her to go away and put an extra 20,000 words in it. Have you ever had that problem where...
I've often said that to students, actually. Just put an extra 20,000 words.
Because I can see that being a nightmare where she had to go back and obviously put in a new character and write and continue putting that through the book. Is that something you've had to do in the past?
The exact opposite. I have had to cut out characters and try to lose 30,000 words. I said I'm not disciplined. I try to be, but my books often go on too long.
You see, this is clearly, Benita, why we need to have the equivalent of those DVD extras for authors as well. You know, those 30,000 words, there's another book there just to be written. You know,
that's
me.
Right.
This is a saga in its own routine.
My agent, I've been lucky enough for some of my books to have been sold abroad. And my agent said that they're getting too long for France. They don't like them that long.
Do we care?
They like it quick.
Quel dommage. Me. They do like it long in France. Long temps, non, they say. Can they not just do one of those simple book reads, you know, the ones that sort of you do to actually help people read, you know, a little short read, something like that? Maybe that would work, just a suggestion. Benita, it's been absolutely fabulous just sharing some wonderful time with you this evening. Tuesday the 29th of June, as you mentioned, you'll be there with Jessica Blair, a.k.a. Bill Spence, at Acklam Library. I can't believe it. I mean, tickets, £3. That's like a couple of coffees. It's so ridiculous. I thought, I mean, surely it must be £3,000. You know, £300. It's going to be wonderful. Are you looking forward to attending the Middlesbrough Literary Festival this year?
I am looking forward to it. I love meeting readers. I like it most of all when they ask questions. Because for me, just to stand there and speak, that's not good. I want them to ask me anything they like.
Bear that in mind, Aaron. You know, chirp up. Even if it's only a case of, Benita, have you ever tasted a Heston Blumenthal dish? You know, you fine? Yeah. Cook action? Is Steve connecting? So we've got two final questions to ask you. Benita Brown, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here at Siren 107.3 FM today?
Oh, yes, it's been very interesting.
So can we prevail upon you to hopefully connect again, hopefully telephonically, possibly in person, in the not-too-distant future?
Oh, I hope so. I'd like that.
Benita Brown, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you.